Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a concerted effort to have a younger roster. And look, Kansas City did it, and it worked. And they revamped. And so that's what it kind of feels like in Buffalo. But I am a little concerned about the loss of leadership.
Buffalo Plus, your interactive look at the week in football.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus podcast presented by Connors and Ferris, Dan Fates, Mike Catalana. I'm Jenna Cottrell.
Emergency pod.
Yeah. Emergency podcast. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. So full disclosure, we had already recorded a podcast after
we've done
the
this.
Jordan Poyer news came out. And then when we got back in the newsroom, it was
Mitch Morris
and then Trey White.
Yeah.
Other guys, Deontay Hardy, other players as well, but obviously those some of the key guys. And it is an end of an era.
No question.
And Mike, I mean, what is your take on this?
So I've told you guys about the day in Bills history when it was Thurman, Bruce, and Andre, all released on the same day. This is not quite that because those guys all have gold jackets, Hall of Famers, had all been to the Super Bowl. But certainly for the last 30 years of Bills football beyond the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is it. This is a major move. Like you're talking about, especially knowing that we believe Micah Hyde is going to retire.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Poyer and Hyde alone not being back is huge.
Yep. Yeah.
Add in Trey White and Mitch Morris. On any other day, Mitch is the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he has been a rock for that team at the center position. So it's really incredible to see. And when the team says they're looking to revamp and get younger.
Yeah.
They weren't kidding.
Yeah. End of an era, I think is the best way to put it. Obviously the Trey White one, a lot of these moves, Mike, you had talked about, like you could see them coming a little bit. It is also still jarring when it actually happens.
Well, it's the sentimental piece, because if you are from the outside looking in, you'd be like, well, Trey White, you know, he had two season ending injuries. Jordan Poyer, he's in his 30s. He didn't make some of the same plays he made in years prior. But you talk about the player and what they meant to that locker room and the leadership aspect. And just when you needed to talk to, you know, the Bills obviously went through hard times this past season, in the middle of the season, able to come out of that. But at the same point, when you need a steadying voice in that locker room, a lot of those guys were the ones to be the one to be vocal. And I think that just says so much about where they were in terms of respect level.
Yeah.
But it's wild.
The Bills released 294 games worth of players in these three moves. So Jordan Poyer played 118 games in Buffalo, Trey White 89, Mitch Morris 87.
Yeah.
So like I get it in the sense that they want to get younger. This is a concerted effort to have a younger roster. And look, Kansas City did it and it worked and they revamped. And so that's what it kind of feels like in Buffalo. But I am a little concerned about the loss of leadership, what these waves mean throughout a locker room. That again, it's the business. I'm not trying to sit here and act like everybody deserves $1 billion in cookies and orange slices after every, you know, thing that happens. But this is
how would you do cookies and orange slices?
Oh, first of all, it's just cookies.
No, right.
No orange
slices. And the orange slice, they would, that's not a good combo.
No.
No.
I was trying to lighten the mood up a little bit.
Brandon Bean needs a cigarette. That's what I was
thinking. We all do. He's
had all right. I will say this. We've talked about this. When you have an elite quarterback like Josh Allen, who's going to play a long time in Buffalo,
he's going to go through different teams.
Three teams.
Yeah.
I believe Tom Brady played for like four.
Yep.
Where, I mean, you revamp the entire roster where no one is left, and then he does it again and again. And this is what it's going to end up being. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have, just because you keep the same quarterback for a long time.
Yeah.
Rosters get turned over. I think, honestly, it's hard to say right now because I know for a lot of fans it hurts, but you're lucky to have these guys for 7 years. 7 years is a long time in this league, and especially the safety combination.
Yeah.
Look, I've said this on the air before. We got used to not seeing Trey on the field. We just did.
Yep.
He's been hurt for 2 years. It makes it tough. But Poyer was out there. Hyde was out there. Hyde came back from the neck. Poyer played through everything.
Everything.
Stayed on the field. And you talked about what he did last year, Dan, for Poyer.
Yeah, last
Incredible.
Year.
Incredible. I've never seen a Bills player in his circumstances do what he did.
Yeah, that was the first move that I thought was surprising. We had just talked about it on this podcast, about the fact of, I don't think that you go into a new season with two new safeties knowing how important the safety position, I'd argue it's the most important position on a Sean McDermott defense. And all of a sudden he gets released and we're sitting there and it's like, well, his play has kind of dropped off the last 2 years, which we've addressed on this pod. We've said that, yeah, he's missed some tackles. But there are more reasons than excuses as to why Poyer's play has dropped off at times. And Mike, you go back to last year, and I went and looked at the tweet, over a million impressions on this tweet of just saying what Jordan Poyer went through last year.
Yeah.
And it was hyperextending his elbow at training camp. You walked by,
it was career ending.
It was
brutal.
Yeah. Then he breaks two ribs, fractures two ribs, drives 15 hours to Kansas City.
Making the game-winning play in Baltimore, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
made the
right.
game-winning play against Lamar.
Yep.
And then I don't like flying to Kansas City. This guy drove 15 hours to get there.
And then he also had a torn meniscus in his knee by the end of the year. And yeah, he battled through all that stuff this year. And guess what? Yeah, maybe he was a little bit of a step slow, but he was the one constant that the defense had for the most part while there were injuries riddled with holes. So you had that guy, and he's playing linebacker and dime packages and doing everything that this team's needed. And to your point, again, they reworked Rasul Douglas's contract. That's a positive. You know, you also have Christian Benford coming back healthy, all these things. But the one constant in the last 7 years of what you could say is average at times secondary play, what
two guys? Names? Two guys are constant, Poyer and Taron Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Taron Johnson is on the field essentially for
every play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Micah missed a whole season. Mm-hmm. And Trey's missed a ton of time.
Yep.
Poyer has stayed out there.
Smart, tough, dependable.
Hey, he's been great.
We asked Sean McDermott about Jordan Poyer last week at the Combine, and here's what he had to say.
Jordan has been just instrumental in our success and the growth of our organization, our team, our defense. Can't say enough good about Jordan, just like Micah. And usually when I say one, the other one comes to mind as well. And so I think Jordan for us has been a player, among other things, that probably to me that stand out. His toughness, his mental and physical toughness is what to me rises to the surface when he's out there for us versus when he's not, in terms of the toughness of our overall defense. I think Jordan does a great job of driving that.
There are few players that Sean McDermott gets very sentimental about. And when he talks about even just the last home game, talking about that it was the defense's turn to be introduced and that knowing that it was could be the last time that Hyde and Poyer get introduced together. And they would always run out of the tunnel together. All of those things. That was said he got, you know, it was emotional for him.
Yeah. You know what I remember about those guys too is, God, what game was it where they brought all the defensive backs into the media room? It was a playoff game.
It was a playoff game, I'm pretty sure.
And all those guys, he said, I want all our guys in here. I thought they were always that way.
They did always, the podium with like that.
They always talked about the room. They talked about the guys. And, you know, sometimes when you have those veteran guys, they differentiate themselves from the other players. It's like, no, they were never that way. I never felt they were that. I thought they were always publicly and it appeared to be privately supportive of the younger players and sort of like, hey, come on, like we need you and go play. And they helped lead this team through all the DeMar, all that happened with DeMar. Look, I said, when they go on the Ring of Honor, it should be Poyer and Hyde together. I think it would be perfect that those two on there together. Cause, and again, we don't know 100% about Micah. It certainly appears to be that he's going to retire.
Yeah. I think that's what's shocking to me is you talk about maybe Jordan Poyer missing a step and all those things, but now having the possibility of two new safeties in your defense and the importance and level of play that is expected from them, having two new guys,
yeah.
I feel like if Poyer were to have a step back, but it's still, there's still a processing that goes into having a new player in one of those positions, yep. and the caliber of that's expected. I guess that's kind of why I wouldn't say surprised, because it's the NFL and it is a business, but we talked about this on the other podcast of, you know, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde in particular, you can add in Trey White, but when we first really started covering the Bills, those were the guys were being introduced to the process and all this stuff. So it's going to be weird, Dan, going into that locker room and not seeing those guys there.
I think they can replace the play of Ryan Bates or Deonte Hardy and Nyheim Hines. Like,
you hope they can replace the play of Deonte Hardy.
Yeah. And even Ryan Bates, like again, the people are like, oh, I can't believe we're getting rid of their seventh best offensive lineman. Like, oh, okay. It's tough to replace that leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's the risk that you're taking by getting younger. You have pieces that you want to step up and you can see future leaders. But again, Mike makes the point, and it's weird because it is New England-esque, but like, they moved on from dudes too. They cut Vrabel and they moved on from
Brewski, all those guys left, and they still made Super Bowls in their case. I will say this. There's a difference, I believe, both in leadership and what they've brought to the field of Poyer and Hyde than Trey White. Because Trey has not been on the field. Yeah. And I think his play
is fair.
It's different. I think Poyer and Hyde were natural leaders, and both publicly and privately, it seemed to be more that case. Not that Trey wasn't a full team guy and all those things. Right. I just think it's different. I think the move on from Trey from a football perspective is less jarring to me than the other two, because we have seen this franchise get used to playing without him.
Yeah.
And look, they brought in Rasul Douglas. He's a good player. Christian Benford can play. We've already seen the next iteration of corner.
Plan, yeah.
Yeah. We haven't seen it really at safety. Look, they have DeMar on the team. We don't know what they'll do with the position, but they're going to go out and get guys, and somebody's going to play that position. That doesn't mean they replace Poyer or Hyde.
Oh, go ahead. Did you have something?
Well, I was going to say these moves.
Oh, you're going where I was going.
Are salary cap adjacent. They are not cutting Jordan Poyer because it saves them $5 million. If Jordan Poyer was...
In their mind, if he was still the guy they needed him to be...
They would keep him.
Yes.
All of these guys. The Morris one is probably the most confusing. That's the kind of what we're hearing.
Well, I saw Tim Graham had a tweet.
They're expecting to move Connor McGovern to center and have Ryan Edwards then slide in to play guard, who they had just extended. David Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So David Edwards is the guy you always heard 76 is eligible on the play. Yes.
So those things. So again, so when everybody's, you know, I get it. You want to, here you go. You want to take your victory lap and try and tell me the salary cap is real? Maybe. No, it's not. Just kidding. But the fact of the matter is that these moves are also based on a concerted effort to get younger and see the talent.
Yeah. Look, they have Rasul Douglas on the team, right? They're reworking his deal. He's staying. Like, this is what they're doing. Yeah. Like, and I'm telling you, this is the point we make, is it would be rather easy for them to redo Jordan Poyer's contract.
Yep.
If they wanted to save some cap space, move on, whatever it is. But 2 years ago, two seasons ago, they let him walk, and he didn't get offered what it is. Now is the question is, which one of these guys is still playing? Because I think Jordan Poyer is going to play.
Yeah.
And you
in the Giants.
By the way, we should address this here. We've said this all night. 100% that he's not coming back.
Micah?
Jordan.
Yes.
I mean, I won't say no. There is the possibility.
I think the guy has already dipped his toe out there. There are like
87
safeties who have played in this league. Some pretty good players.
Yeah.
That are free agents out there. It is like, you know, you see those TV shows where somebody shows up for an audition and they walk in the room and they realize there's like 100 people for the job.
That look just like them.
That's the safety position in the NFL. And we know Poyer to be that player. And he is a notch above a lot of these guys. But in terms of that, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Of all the guys, not Trey White, post June 1st designation is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Him coming off the injury. I don't think that's happening. But I just wanted to say it. because we've seen, we saw that happen before and then we didn't think it was going to happen. Thought he was going to be gone day one.
Yeah. I am still shocked though by the Mitch Morris situation, only because I think it does make sense when you look, when you take a step back. But I just thought with where he was at, what he meant to the franchise, that connection that he had with Josh Allen. And
yeah.
Dan, you're shaking your head.
No, I 100% agree.
Oh, okay.
I'm shaking my head because it's like,
okay,
pretty yeah. important piece on that offensive line.
Mitch is this offense's version of, I just he feels like the father of the group.
Yes.
1,000%.
Right?
And I'm just shocked. He's, like, yeah, Connor, Lorenzo, you're going to move over. And then I'm just surprised it's, I mean, the Bills made him the highest paid center.
Yeah. I mean, when I say that,
a couple years ago, obviously,
I realized that like he's your guys' age, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's insane.
And he
he's
feels
younger.
Oh man. And it feels like
he's like 29. Oh,
he's like haunting to me.
I think he's in his 30s. He's in his 30s. I think Mitch is. But he feels like he's
48.
Yeah.
He feels like he's
like no, he does. I always feel because of
31.
The NFL works, which is younger.
Still younger than us.
Yeah. The way the NFL works, when you are like 5 years is like 15 in real life.
Yeah.
It's just because of what they've played and the amount of miles on people. And I felt that was Mitch. And I thought maybe there would be a reworking of it. Of the
That's
deal.
What I expect. I mean, we think about it. When we were talking at the end of locker cleanout, Mitch was like, you know, the NFL is a business. I don't know what's in store for me. Obviously, I would love to be back in Buffalo, all those things. But in my head then, I was like, there's no way the Bills are not going to have him on the roster.
Yeah. And look, this sets them up to maybe be more active in free agency because they haven't even
that
done.
That is what I was going to.
Not even done the Josh contract yet. That's going to happen.
That is exactly what my next question would be. The assumption is there's a restructuring of Josh Allen's contract that will get them cap compliant.
Get him some new pants.
And then.
Yes. Yes.
And then from there, though, does that open up the window for there to be more free agent additions than we actually expected?
Well, Bean has 11 draft picks, and we all kind of laughed saying there's no way he's going to use all of his picks. But when we were talking about wide receivers, there was a need and a want.
Yeah.
There are now more needs.
Yes, but you can fill some of these needs maybe easier in free agency. You're talking about interior offensive linemen. I think they're going to draft somebody. And this is the plus on this draft. This draft has got a lot of offensive linemen in it and people are excited about. So no one's going to get excited when
they're going to draft an offensive lineman in the first round.
No, I literally joked that.
Do you not remember? I said that.
No, they're taking a wide receiver in the first round.
I literally said that. I said, how hilarious is probably the wrong word. But
no, they're not doing that in the first round.
I can definitely see.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't expect that to happen, but
my brain's all fuzzy.
We should check Adam Schefter to make sure there's no other.
Yeah.
We also recorded this earlier today with the Poyer news. So
I just think sometimes when you look at of what teams do, like when this has become a thing, I will say this. There is a sentimental part of this. You love the player. You love what they can do. If they were having the draft now and Kyle Hamilton was in the draft and they drafted Kyle Hamilton, people move on.
Yeah.
The player moves on. The idea isn't just that you let these guys go. You're not going to hit on all of them. But we talked about pressure on Brandon Bean. Mm-hmm. He ramped it up. Yeah. They haven't done this since 2018. And that was off that playoff team.
Yeah.
Drought was broken, but
playoff adjacent team, we'll say. Yeah. 17, drought broken. And then they just like cut a bunch of guys and brought in the quarterback. And that was like starting. Or that was easy moves, relatively speaking.
Well, and that's the case is that that's when you know that's when the salary cap's really a factor of you're not as good of a team as you think. You made the playoffs, but it's not really a playoff contending team, not a championship contending team. So you hit the restart button like that. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. If Poyer was playing at an all-pro level again, they have no problem eating the $5 million cap hit.
Of course.
And that's what's a little bit surprising. I guess it's just a move to get younger. I'm trying to wrap my head around.
And I will say this. On the offensive line, they have a good offensive line. And You know, they've liked Edwards coming in.
Mitch was just such a piece of that,
though. I know. But I do believe on the interior line, I do believe they can bring in another. I mean, look, they hit it well with your favorite player on the offensive line.
Oh.
Cyrus O'Torrence.
Yes. But yes.
They really did.
It really is a change. And honestly, to some extent, a little more goes on the plate of 17 now.
Which is, I'm sorry.
Which is the exact opposite of what we're trying to accomplish.
No, no. Also, I'm not talking about.
There's already been so much asked
about. Talking about scoring points. I'm talking about from a leadership perspective.
See, that is actually something I'm very curious to see play out. Because while Josh is a leader in his own way, he's not, in my opinion, the most vocal, outspoken leader.
I think we might see a little more of that.
So I wonder if that will push him more into that kind of role. But
I don't want that.
Oh, he's the quarterback. I want that.
I mean,
No. I want him to be the leader that he is. And he has said he's not this
rah-rah
kind of
guy. Doesn't have to be rah-rah. That doesn't
just
mean it.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Gentlemen.
I just want Josh to keep doing what he's doing. He's been a leader of this team.
Ripping his pants in France. And Diggs looking sharp over there.
Yeah.
Always.
Can you imagine one of us wearing that outfit?
No. Oh, my God.
Could you imagine going to get like a coffee in Paris and you're like, there's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's wild. No. I couldn't imagine being in Paris. Louvre. I want to go get a...
Man.
End of an era.
Yeah, it makes me sad. Also, too, I don't want Josh Allen to have to become... I want Josh, like Dan talked about, to be an authentic leader. I don't want him to have to do more than that.
I don't want him to be not authentic. I want him to be freed up to be just a little bit more of that as the guy people look for. I think he's been really good. I just think I've used the example of getting the players together in the offseason, having a weekend with them.
Yeah.
A little bit. Hey, look, he's going into what? Year 7?
2018.
Yes.
Yeah. Year 7. Like, you are
that's
that guy.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so,
you ask Calvin Benjamin? You want to run routes?
Run routes? Nope. Jenna.
Goodness.
End of an era.
Put the hammer down. It is. It's sad.
It is sad. I get why Bills fans are sad, because that has been the safety blanket. It's like Poyer and Hyde, meaning like that has just been.
They've covered up a lot of holes. And again,
been so selfless. Think about when Josh was a rookie and you saw those flashes, but there was a lot of growing pains. And they didn't say, number 17 needs to be better. They said, we need to score points on defense.
Yeah, I remember being in that locker room in Houston.
Like, think of how
and
much.
They were like, he'll be back. Like, this guy's a stud. Like,
think
you're
of
fine.
How important that is to not have the locker room turn on a young guy.
It's also credit to Josh.
But the reason I brought that up about Josh is because now you start looking at the roster. You start looking at the roster and the years guys have been with the franchise. So who?
Reed Ferguson.
Who's been there longer?
It will be a weird day Deion. When Reed Ferguson is not.
Yep, yeah, Deion.
Milano.
That's
essentially, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else.
Who else was that draft?
Deion.
I believe, Milano. Was Saran Neal in that draft?
Yeah.
He just got released.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying it. Yeah.
I had a point.
So my point is now these are guys who have all been there. Now, Mitch wasn't, but, you know, Trey, Micah, and Jordan, prominent guys there. And it's changing. And that's why it becomes, in another way, just another level of Josh's team. It always has been.
Yeah.
But he's been able to rely on those guys. Oh, here we go.
Got it.
No Celsius.
Also, for some of these guys that have turned their careers around, a guy like Poyer, Hyde was more of a mainstay, obviously, when he came from Green Bay. But give Sean McDermott and the coaching staff credit. And you also have to have a little faith in Bean, because he has been able to find those guys. And again, turning some of these guys that were good players into mainstays and franchise caliber players. Give credit to the coaching staff for turning those players and getting the best out of them. So I guess that's the other thing of this is the pressure's ramped up on Bean. Pressure's ramped up on McDermott you're going to get guys that
100%.
are a step below talent-wise, but they're going to be younger and cheaper, hopefully with more speed, but that's now on you to get the best out of them. They've done it at times. You're going to really need to do it this time.
Yeah.
I'm just so scared that
we're
missing something.
Every time I look, there's going to be another Adam Schefter.
My wife's going to love that when I get home.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
Hey, well, Matt Milano's coming back, so there you go.
That'll be helpful.
Yeah.
Do we
check on that? Now, look, it's a different team, but like I said, this happens in the league, and these are seminal moments in the franchise's history, and these are guys I wanted to see going down a float in a parade.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
That's the thing that kind of stings, is I think they were so integral in being a part of the process, the foundation of the process, and to see the work that they put in and not get the reward that they wanted, and to the level and extent, obviously making the playoffs and the AFC championship, but not going beyond that. I think that's why I think a lot of Bills fans.
When we talked to Mike at the end of the year, and he was joking about coming into Buffalo and the culture, and he's like, let me tell you something. When we got here, I'm looking around, and he goes, there wasn't a lot of winning going on here. And then he was like, we built this culture. He's right. I mean, McDermott will say that. I mean, they did. They were the guys. They were the guys that I thought made Buffalo a cool place to be.
Yeah.
And a great, then Josh comes along, and then people start realizing how good he is.
It was, but also like, to those
the guys who, that guy would leave that house in San Diego to come work out in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Seriously? I don't think I'd ever leave there.
And it got, it also,
fair.
It got the fan base to believe again.
That, yeah.
Like, hey, we're not just the plucky little underdog.
Oh,
like,
no, we're good.
We're good. We can hang.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're saying this, but again, Mike hasn't said anything officially yet, but man, it's leaning down that path. Certainly.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the Buffalo Plus podcast. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Anything, Dan?
Okay. No, just,
you're scaring me with all your Twitter updates. Also follow us on Twitter. At Dan Fates, at Mike Catalana, at Jenna Cottrell. We appreciate that support.
And
as well.
On audio podcasts too.
Yes.
Everywhere you get your audio
podcast. Every
podcasts.
Tuesday, we have an audio podcast as well as the video podcast. You can check it out on our channel. We've hit 30,000 subscribers.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, share as well with a Bills fan. And thank you for joining us. For Mike and Dan, I'm Jenna. We'll catch you next time here on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel.